Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Audio Frontier.
This is Football Daft with Stephen Purden.
Midfield dynamo and average actor.
Chris Toll.
Target man. Suspicious character.
And
hey, that's happened to Stevenson.
Welcome to Football Daft, the daftest Scottish football podcast around. I'm Stephen Purden and let's welcome the team. First, a man who this week on the Football Daft group chat has decided to revitalise his career as a goalkeeper after reliving the fact that at Saltcoats Highland Games, he won player of the tournament after only conceding one goal in seven games. It's no Andy Gorham, it's no Andy Dibble, it's no Chris Woods, it's no Charbonnier, it's no Stefan Klaus, it's no McGregor, it is Graeme Stevely. What's happening, big man?
What are you saying to it? I just had a wee bit of memories because you were asking me, because I always like to get a goalkeeper on the show. I loved the goalies. See, when I was young, obsessed with Andy Gorham. And you might laugh, but I was a good goalie. Just when you read that back there, I won player of the tournament after only conceding one goal in seven games. That is a fact. It was a Sunday morning, and the one goal that I let in was a penalty. So I won Hawks primary at that. And there'll be people for Hawks that will be listening to this going, God, I remember that day. I did do that. I was a good goalkeeper. I was a goalkeeper for Hawks. I was a goalkeeper at TAS. But where I shined predominantly was First Stevenson Boys Brigade. Now, you might laugh at that and say BBs. Fuck, why BBs? But see the BB league down here? It was bigger than any boys group.
Kind of any team competitive?
It was. We were a team, man. We had fucking all sorts of players. Mick Mullen in the team. We had. He's probably not know these boys, right? But
I know Mick Mullen.
They. Aye. Well, do you know what? He actually scored. He was the youngest ever goal scorer for Ayr United.
Aye.
There you go.
He was.
Got a bad injury, didn't you?
Because he went to ICW for a while, didn't he?
Aye,
he was a player.
Got a bad injury. I worked with a guy that knows Mick as well and played with Chris Folds. And he says Mick's one of the best players that he ever played with. Ever.
So that's my biggest regret is doing these charity games and no going and goals.
That's what I was going to say, mate. You could have. Because remember, Gorham only played the first half, did he not?
I know, I do regret it now, but and even Stephanie, because we mean Stephanie sometimes we got the apartment, she has balls into me, and I get the gloves on and all that, and she's always telling me I'm her good. So
hey, just for the listeners out there, right? I know you're all thinking he goes out playing football, he's misses and gets flung in goals and she rattles the balls into him. But I've seen some videos that Grado sent. She's 10 times the player Grado is. Outfield player.
She played for Rangers.
Exactly. She's very good. And Grado, I could believe you as a good goalie, man.
I just love you.
By the way, the best women's footballer since James Rodriguez.
If rumours are to be... I just love the image of Grado and Stephanie going, coming out for a kickabout.
It's good. Well, see, during London, there was nothing else today, and it was good for exercise.
Stephanie's like that, right? Grado, you get in the kitchen, get that Silverside fucking pasted, whatever, get it in the oven, get the dinner sorted, and then we'll go for a kickabout and you can get in goals now fast.
It's Grado, get in there, get the meat in the oven, I'm going out the back to the keepy ups.
Exactly.
Listen, you're right, she did play for Rangers, but and I know this sounds pathetic because she is my girlfriend, that, but when we did got the part and she did hit the balls, she did tell me I was good. She was, you're a good goalkeeper.
No, mate, I believe you. Hey.
You know, back in the day, I had the gloves, I had the.
She was just trying to get a roll.
She was trying to get a goal.
Yes, she was trying to get a goal.
Lower
the tone, Chris. Come on.
Aye, lower the tone. And now we'll give him his introduction that he deserves.
Yeah, bang on.
The season that keeps on giving for Christopher Toll, as we welcome him to the show, and thanks to Rick Bobby on Twitter, we have now discovered that not only his team is shite this season, but we've discovered that he doesn't tip delivery drivers. Toll, that is pathetic.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Right,
Rick Bobby, the views of Rick Bobby, not us, we've just been told.
Yes, Rick Bobby left the food at the door and was in his car to get away, right, and shouts out the window, do you do that podcast with Grado on that? I says, aye. He went, ah, class, and drove away. He didn't give me a chance to give him a fucking tip.
No. All we can do, me and Grado and John, all we can do is take both sides, right? So it's, at the moment, it's Rick Bobby's word against Chris Toll. So Rick Bobby, if you're listening, you're saying he doesn't tip, but Chris Toll is defending himself and saying you didn't give him a chance to tip. So we need to get to the bottom of this at some point.
I'm going
to
stick up for Toll.
Do you want to know why I know who it was? Because obviously I don't know who Rick Bobby is. He's the only delivery driver that's came here recently that hasn't got a tip. And that's the reason why. So there you go, Rick Bobby.
You know what? I actually believe you. I can't see you being, I don't see you being a non-tipper.
No chance, mate.
That doesn't do it to you.
Do I know why? I like to tip delivery drivers because I used to go out and deliver Chinese's with my mate Davey. Mm-hmm. And see, it's a hard job. It's a hard job.
I thought you were going to say because you had a pub and that. I thought you were going to say you had a takeaway show when you were younger.
So what did you do to help it?
I just hung about with him.
Years ago, Nicola was a fucking home help when she was at uni. Nice to just hang about with her in the motor and all while she was gone, like, fucking clearing old guys' arses and all that. And I'd just be sitting in the motor, smoking about 20 Marlboro.
Did you get in at the end? Did you get like a horn for a chicken buzz or anything like that? No?
Mate, I'll know. This is an exclusive. I used to dip their chips all the time.
See, I can imagine you doing that. That's fucking
dirty.
Just a wee chip. Just the one, no.
I done it myself. I deliver for the chip for the fish and chips. Yeah. So I've done it one night. Too much a tease.
Right. So maybe Rick Bobby or whatever. Rick Bobby and it. We'll get to the boat, mate. Rick, if you're listening, it's your own fault, you stupid fucking delivery. You jumped in your motor, right? Wait the next time. I don't like to call Rick too many names.
By the way, he's a big bit of a boy, I think. So watch yourself.
Rick, wait for your tip the next time, because
He's on
pubs and all that. He's not shy of you, Bob.
He's not getting a fucking tip after grassing this. So, Rick, see you next time. In fact, do you know what? He will get a tip. He'll get a tip. I don't want him to spit in my food. He delivers for a place called The Lads, and it's the fucking best scran ever. Honest to God.
The Lads?
Aye. Telling you, man.
Fucking lads are going to be running at your door, man. No tipping fucking Rick Bobby, man. The lads are going to be coming at your door. Right, Scottish football chips, as we are recording on a Thursday afternoon, it is breaking news that Scott Brown is joining Aberdeen at the end of the season and accompanying Stephen Glass as his assistant. Bruce Inger. Toll.
This is getting meaty.
Toll, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I've not had
it's literally just broke. The news is just broke. Aye. So I've not had time to absorb it yet. Great servant to the club. And his best days by him, I would say so. His first venture into management or assistant, being a coach kind of thing. It's a good club to go to, you know what I mean? So fuck it, all the best to him.
It is like we were saying on fair, man. It's like, right, Stephen Gerrard's the manager of Rangers. Scott Brown is away to Aberdeen. Maybe Roy Keane's going to take over at Celtic, if you believe the rumours. It is like fucking FIFA career mode or something. It's like,
it is, isn't it?
Playing FIFA for like 10 years, man. Things have just changed. Roy Keane is the rumour that isn't going away. And the rumour is Roy Keane and Nicky Butt. Tol, what's your thoughts on that?
You keen on Butt?
You've been saving that up, haven't you?
For a bit. 4 hours.
Magic, mate. Magic.
I like that, tickled me.
Do you know what? I'm sure that this question is going to come up later on in the show in the open line, so I'll just touch on it briefly. I don't want Roy Keane as a Celtic manager. I don't want Nicky Butt as a Celtic assistant or whatever the fuck he's going to be. It's just no for me. It's no for me.
But there is that interesting, as a Rangers fan, we can sit here and go, oh, I can't wait fucking Keane and all that. He's going to, you know, praying that it doesn't work out. But either way, it's going to be mega, mega interesting. Mega, right from the get-go.
It's going to be box office, mate. Box office. I mean, you're going like there's the ties for their playing careers where it's Liverpool versus Man United, where they obviously there's no love lost there. Then you've got Rangers v Celtic. I mean, it captures the imagination, and maybe you don't want it, mate, and maybe Celtic fans will fucking shudder at the thought. But when you look at the bigger picture of Scottish football, Sky and all that, they're going to fucking be
going
to have themselves to buy into this, aren't they?
If you're looking at the bigger picture for Scottish football, then bust the bank and get Lampard done. You know what I mean? That's if you're wanting box office, that's who you want, and you want Lampard done.
But do you agree with me and Grado saying, do you know Hank Keane is box office as well?
He might be box office, but so is two old Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. And that was a fucking shambles, wasn't it?
Nah,
Roy couldn't manage a raffle.
But we are talking about Lampard would be great, but you're never gonna get Lampard coming on in a post match interview and losing the plot and saying something that, you know, sends internet going crazy, right? Keane will. That's what I'm saying.
I think what Toe's saying is he doesn't want his fucking beloved team to be the butt of the jokes. You know what I mean? Like, whereas me and you're sitting going, this is... I mean, I don't know if he's the type... Who knows? He might come up here. He might fucking wipe the floor of everything. He might turn out to be a fucking great manager and all that. He might get galvanised. You don't know. But
you don't know how much of that's a gimmick on the telly as well.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. But if you go by players, well, I'm assuming, look at his previous fucking jobs. Do you know what I mean? He's garbage. He's absolutely garbage. But did they know? Did he manage Ipswich at one point? Did he nearly put them out of fucking business?
He did die.
The guy is a shambles. He's got absolutely.
Bring him up. Come on, Roy. Come on up, Roy.
I'd be happy. See if it was something like taking a wee bit of a speculative gamble on somebody that hadn't actually had a job yet, right? And had, you know, like they were talking about Maresca and stuff like that, right? I'd rather take a gamble on that than take a gamble on somebody that has had a job and failed numerous times. You know what I mean? See, put it this way, right? See, if it was yous and yous were in my position, would yous want Roy Keane as the Celtic manager?
100% yes.
Fuck you, Stevie.
my mate just texts me, from as long as 15-2 on Monday, Keane was, he's now been back down to 1-3 on.
Wow.
Aye, but that's only because people are backing
putting it on.
Obviously, it's because people are backing it, but why are people backing it? There's so much. I mean, there must be some truth in it.
See companies like Skybet and stuff like that. Sky Sports News will put a wee story out there, and then everybody runs to Skybet and puts some money on it. Sky are making money off these stories.
I know, mate. But what I'm going to say is, it's not very often the bookies are wrong, Toe.
Well, no, I don't know, because listen to me, right? Earlier in the season, rumours go about, yous were supposedly interested in Jack Wilshere. He was fucking 61 on from Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Zlatan Ibrahimovic at one point was 41 on to sign for Celtic, because rumours go about. See, if there's a rumour going about, folk jump on it and they go in and try and get the money.
It's true.
Can I also make a point as well, Toe? I reckon, and I know you're not comfortable with Keane getting the job right, but I see in the next couple of months, he comes up here and he has a press conference and he says something to appeal you, and it'll just like that, he's going to be the man.
Do you know what?
I guarantee it.
What I will say,
they're going to win a league.
Gredo, what I will say is, see whoever gets the job, they'll get my full backing. They'll get a chance to begin with. You know what I mean? But I just feel that Roy Keane is in the exact same mold as Neil Lennon, and look where that got us. So he's not the right sort of person to manage a team of footballers in the modern game.
And that's
is the analysis of Chris Toe on Roy Keane. So let's get to the weekend's football, guys. Yeah? And it was another old firm. It was another old firm at Parkhead, where Rangers came away with a result. Toe, you want to talk about that again?
Aye, why not? Remember?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it feels like months ago.
It does, and we were all reasonably happy with the result. You can hear our full analysis and a special Celtic Daft Rangers Staff podcast on patreon.com/footballdaft. But just briefly, gents, what was our thoughts on the game? Grado, I'll come to you first. What was the thoughts?
Well, I'm happy with it, to be honest with you. We had that game last Thursday night. We know what happened post-match. There was a lot of... I'm coming away from it happy that we've got the point and we're still undefeated. And, you know, I enjoyed my day. I enjoyed Sunday. So
aye, same. I really enjoyed it. It was kind of like, it's the whole, can you see the Rangers coming? Have you ever seen Gerrard win a league? Have you ever seen Morelos score against Celtic? That was nice. Morelos just getting his goal. I liked that. That was nice.
What was that season Monday?
What?
That same loss that Alfredo Morelos hasn't scored it.
Against his trophy, aye.
Oh, Arito, what you said to me, man?
Oh, is you crashed, are you?
I'm still here, mate. Sorry, I'm just counting my money. Just counting my winnings.
Oh, that's right. He pulled Morelos to score.
So he did.
Everybody that listens to the show knows every time Rangers play Celtic, I says, it's going to be this week. It's going to be this game. And this is the first time that I've bet him and he fucking scored the goal. So fair play to him. But I never bet him to score the first goal or the last goal and I never bet Rangers to win. I was confident that we were going to do it last week. And do you know what? We were the better team. And it was encouraging. It was a wee bit more encouraging. That's all I'll say.
I would say they were the better team.
It was a bit of a, I don't know.
Non-event?
Weird one. Aye, it was a bit...
It was a bit of a damp squib, wasn't it, to be honest with you?
Aye. It was a weird one. It was... Did you feel weird, Gedo, we'd won the league and down there? Kind of didn't feel any pressure, really. Do you know what I mean?
There was pressure. However, when it gets to... When it was 86th minute, you're thinking, right, man, we could maybe score here. However, when the final whistle went, I was just kind of relieved that we never got beat.
I thought the last 15-20 minutes, I thought we were going to win this. I thought the way we were playing, we're going to win it. I feel like Celtic had kind of ran out of ideas a wee bit. I thought we were going to win it. But take a draw, still undefeated. Let's talk cup upsets. Brora Rangers, pumped hearts. Have we all spoke to you and Cameron? We've been texting
him. I think he wants to come on the show later, does he know?
Does he?
He wants to come on. He wants to come on and talk about it. So
yeah, we'll talk
I've given him the number for the open line, so hopefully we'll hear from him.
It's a part-timer's first game since lockdown as well. So is it the biggest cup upset ever, would you think?
Well, it's up there. It's got to be, yeah. Come on. It's really got to be.
The fact
that they're in the championship kind of makes it no as big, but
that's exactly what I was going to say, Gredo. It's normally when you think of upsets, you think of Premier League teams.
Rangers and Hamilton in the 80s and all that kind of thing.
Clyde and Celtic.
Supercaligobalistic.
Also,
97 Cup final.
Rangers beating Celtic in the semi final a couple of years ago.
Nice one. That was cute. But also, I mentioned too the mighty Burns who beat Ricky Little's Arbroath. And they've now set up a game against Celtic. What happened to Ricky Little, man? Did he shake the bed, Fredo?
I don't think he was playing Tuesday night, was he?
Was he skipper
captain? I mean, I know he's a captain, but hold on.
So he's going to do a wee football daft, a wee kind of Celtic daft, a wee watch-along thing? Have we got any Celtic
people? Mate, I don't think we have. I'm not even kidding on. See, try to get somebody to come on Celtic daft. It's like, try to find the fucking Ark of the Covenant.
Aye, Richard was playing centre half on Tuesday, so I've not really heard from him, but I'm sure he'll have his.
Captain, mate?
Yeah, no. Does he tell you? Doesn't he tell you, mate?
Wait, Celtic, Falkirk, looking forward to it, guys. He's the jink, John. Yeah, you'll do
it. Easy game.
Is it at Parkhead?
It is.
The jink, though.
I don't take anything for granted anymore, mate, to be honest with you. And do you know what?
We'll see.
If Kino's in in time, then we might get a result.
Kino!
Just on that, would he come in as a pre-contract for next season?
I think he would come in straight away, because we need a manager in there straight away to see what's wrong so they can get together what he needs for his team for next season. So I think he would come in straight away, and I'm just hoping and praying that John Kennedy is shown the door.
Oh,
good guy, man.
Whoa. Right, I'm sure we'll have a few calls on the open line about some of these topics in a bit. And on the big question this week, after Kemar Roos tackle, that was a tackle. He didn't mean it. Do you know what I mean? He didn't mean it. Let's just clear that up. We ask, what is the worst challenge you have seen? And our big guest this week has just left the job at Ayr United. He's a former midfielder from the likes of Falkirk, Dundee United and Aberdeen, and a champ manager legend. It is Chris Toll's BFF. It's Mark Kerr.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767 172.
Well, it's that time of the episode where we like to find out about G4 Claims. Now, a lot of people listen to this show, they might have been involved in an accident, and it's no their fault. Now, Nicole, if this is happening to folk, you know, the roads are busy just now, people are starting to go back to their work. There was a bad accident on the M74 southbound the other day. What's your message to people that have been involved in a car accident and it's no their fault?
I'm glad you're asking, because guys, you'll not believe it again. Believe it or not, there is actually people listening to me on this show, because someone else phoned me again last week from Football Daft to let me know that they've been involved in an accident. So if you're involved in an accident and it's not your fault, or if you're involved in any sort of accident, please contact G4 Claims. We can help you get back on the road safely, so we can provide you with a like-for-like replacement car. If your car is written off, we can recover the pre-accident value for your car. If your car is repairable, we'll get it to one of our approved body shops, or a body shop of your choice, whoever you want to use. If it's somebody in your family or whatever, you know, somebody you've got a long-standing relationship with, we can deal with them as well. So we will accommodate you with that. And with your insurance, they would tell you where to go. You tell us where to go. So we are at your beck and call. Everything we do for you is totally free of charge. We bill everything to the at-fault insurance company. So my services are totally free. And if I can't help you for whatever reason, I'll point you in the right direction. I'll put you in your merry way. And I'll still make sure you're looked after. So, like I said, for the first time ever, unbelievably, there's people on this show who are actually listening to me. That doesn't happen very often, but people are listening, so people are phoning me, and I'm so, so happy. So thanks so, so much, everybody, for listening. And if you're involved in any sort of accident, please contact G4 Claims. It's not at fault claims. Made easy.
There we go.
Time for the open line on Football Daft. It is the open line where anything goes. How will Stephen Glass do at Aberdeen? Should David Turnbull be in the Scotland squad? And why does Chris Toll not tip delivery drivers? Some of the points up for discussion in the company of our pundits, Stephen Keevans, Graham Guidi and Chris Delahunt. Let's go to the first caller, boys. And it is... We've got a caller coming on. It's a Rangers supporter. From Falkirk, it's Ewan Cameron from Falkirk. He's a Rangers supporter. Ewan, you're on the line. Would you like to make a point to the panel?
Right, mate.
How you doing, Ewan?
Why didn't you lot just piss off?
Thanks for coming on, mate. Wait a minute. There's no need for that. Sorry, have you got a point to make?
You phoned in.
Aye, what's your point? Who's it for, Ewan?
So if I've been invited onto Football Daft this week because Hearts have had the most humiliating result in their history, and I'm only here as a punching bag for you three idiots to take the piss out of me, then I'm not hanging about. But if you want to have a professional, serious conversation about the situation at Hearts, I'm more than happy to spend as much time as possible. But if you're here to rip the piss, I ain't fucking playing your game.
Where do we start? The fallout, Broder Rangers, humiliating Hearts, who have got Robbie Nielsen, they've brought in some names, flying in the championship a few weeks ago, according to you, going to run away with it, on fire. No, you want Nielsen out. Where do we start, Ewan?
Yeah, we're always going to win the championship, Stephen. Right. I would put you in charge of Hearts. I would put Grado in charge of Hearts, possibly not Toll. but John McAnally had put in charge of Hearts. Any one of us, apart from Toll, could lead Hearts to the championship.
Well, see, the thing is, you and see, if I was in charge of Hearts, they wouldn't have been relegated, you fucking dafty.
No, mate, you still hurting after? Mate, you still hurting after missing on 10 in a row? Are you?
I don't know. Listen, see, at the end of the day, mate, Hearts done their typical one. They heard the name Rangers and they fucking bottled it as usual.
Well, but like Celtic all season.
He's got free juice.
They've made me get the juice, you scumbag.
Right. Should Robbie Nielsen remain in charge after that?
No. Robbie Nielsen was the wrong choice to begin with. He was always going to get us at the championship. That's the point. And I've made this point all season, is that Hearts, I've got a great squad for the championship. And they were going to roll over everybody in that league. And it's proved to be the case. Even though we've been awful, no one else has come anywhere close to getting anywhere near Hearts to challenge us for the title.
It's not a championship squad, though. That is a premiership squad that you've got.
No,
Gary McKay, Stephen Halliday.
I would get shot at Halliday yesterday.
Ooh.
Right?
Ewan said that all season, to be fair. He has.
Yeah, Naismith, for me, his best days are gone. Liam Boyce is not the player that he was when he was at Inverness. Jamie Walker again failed at Wigan. He played nae football for a couple of years down in Wigan.
Is John Cohen still getting a game?
Rousey, man, Jules Rousey, how's he
I
getting
feel our age quit. I feel our age quit coming. God.
But Derek, do you know what I... Derek.
I don't want Derek McInnes as the next Hearts manager.
I think he's going to end up there. And I know you
a serial failure, a man who bottles the big time, who bottles the big teams like Rangers. He bottled that. And look where he's now. He's sat way in the garden, twiddling his thumbs.
Who do you want?
I want Nielsen out. And I know there's...
Would you take Neil Lennon?
Would I take Neil Lennon? Let me think about that one, Toll. I'll get back to you.
Aye. That means you would. I think you would take Lennon.
Well, I mean, I look at the job that he did for Hibs, and he took them up, and he got them to third in the league. And there's no way he's going to Hearts.
No,
I don't think he will go to Hearts. But do you know what I mean? I think he's a type of guy that we need. Would I take someone like a Roy Keane? Yes. Neil Lennon, possibly.
By the way,
I'd love you to take Roy Keane, mate. I would love you to take Roy Keane.
I think it's time for Craig Levein to come back, man.
Aye, man, me too.
Craig Levein.
Laughing at?
What about John Robertson? He's not working just now. Would you take him?
Nah, I wouldn't take Robbo either. I think he's had his chance and that's gone. I think we need someone, maybe like a Roy Keane character, would be great in that dressing room, because at the moment, our dressing room is an absolute joke. And Robbie Nielsen's got a plan A, but he doesn't have a plan B. The setup is awful. There's something fundamentally wrong at Hearts. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, it might be Anne Budge. Look at her appointments over the years, your Cathros, your Levines, your Stendals, your Nielsen. She's not had a great track record when it's come to appointing managers. So it might be a fundamental problem from behind the scenes as well. I'm not saying that Budge should go, because she saved the club along with the fans, obviously. But I think that we need a brand new, we need a new, fresh approach to the football club.
A managing, sport, what do you call it? A fucking
football, director of football. Aye.
Nah. Sport, I mean, Christoph Bedder is still getting a game for us and he's awful. I mean, Halliday, I mean, Jamie Walker, Liam Boyce, Stephen Lee Smith.
Are all of these players, are they trading on past glories, mate?
Do you know what they're, yeah, they are. And they're also there to pick up their last pay packet before their pension. There's quite a few of them, so I think it just needs a complete clear out and start again for the Premiership next season. Now, I don't think that Hearts will get relegated next year, but I do think we're at the moment looking a bottom six club, and I'm being truthful with that. I really do, unless we get a new manager in. And I think if Nielsen goes and we get a new manager in who can bring his own players and do a bit of a clear out there, then I think we've got a wee chance of getting in the top six next season. Wow. But there's an issue there with Robbie Nielsen.
What about this then? Sorry, Stevie. What about this then? Going for the wee Hearts to the big Hearts, would you take Barry Ferguson and Bob Malcolm?
Yeah, not.
No? Do you not think they could do a job? Seriously?
Nah. He's not. That's not for me. Not at all. I just think that Hearts have got a problem and an issue to deal with before the start of the season next year. If they stick with Robbie Nielsen, you're going to have the fans against you because the fans want him out. I mean, they desperately want him out. Yeah. So you're already going in a brand new season in the Premiership with a manager that the fans are on the back end. One bad result, they start the new season in the Premiership, and again, we're going to be back to this talk of Nielsen out. Lovely guy, don't get me wrong. And I, a couple of weeks ago, I bumped into him when I called for his head, which was...
awkward.
Did you hear about that?
No.
Tell us, man.
Right, so after we got beat 3-2 from Raith Rovers at Tynecastle, I was straight on to social media and I was like, this is a disgrace. He's an embarrassment. Nielsen needs to go. And I tagged in Hearts. I actually tagged in Hearts in my tweet. So it went crazy. Everyone
went viral.
And you know, shut up. Everybody had their point to make on Nielsen being out. About 8 days after that, after the whole furore of me wanting Nielsen out that weekend, 8 days later, it was during the snow that we had, I think, in late February time. And I was working and I went for a walk with Kat after the show. And walking down the side street towards the Botanic Gardens, who's walking towards me? Robbie Nielsen.
Oh, man.
Mate, I bet your arse collapsed.
Right, so I'm chatting away to Kat and I clock Robbie Nielsen. He clocks me. And I've known Robbie for a number of years from my days doing the football phone-in when he was first at Hearts, when he was there when we nearly won the league under George Burnley, etc. So he knows me, I know him, and we clock each other. And I stop talking and Kat goes, what is it? And I'm like, not saying a word because I do not know what to do. Do I jump behind the car? Do I run to their side of the street? Do I jump behind Kat? Right. I'm shitting myself, right? Because only 8 days earlier I've called for his head. So we're walking and I slow down to say, I'm going, do I stop and say hello? Do I engage in a conversation with him? And then Kat's going to say, What is it? I goes, that's fucking Robbie Nielsen. And she went, no way. She started laughing.
Come over here, Robbie. Come over here.
So we walk past. We get to him. And he's like at my shoulder. And I'm at his shoulder. We're walking past this narrow street. And I just went, all right, Robbie. And he kind of paused, looked at me up and down and went, all right, Ewan. And then walked on by. Right?
That's horrible. But do you know what?
As soon as he walked past me, I turned around and just kept watching him in case he jumped me from behind.
Imagine the unrest in the dressing room. Everything and Robbie Nielsen just away for the club kicks you and Cameron's cunt in, man. It's in the papers.
That's brilliant, man.
You'd be tagging Hearts and Police Scotland in a tweet, man. He kicked my cunt in.
Stevie, that would have went viral.
Cat, he's kicking my cunt in.
I was just standing there pissing herself laughing.
Would you know, Wayne, help me, boys?
I would, mate.
Aye, I'd help you, mate.
I'd help you.
He's a lovely man. He's a lovely guy.
Honestly, I think he's a great guy, honestly.
Was it the casino Wayne one night? To about 4 a.m.
Were you?
Mm-hmm.
Were you?
Years ago. Aye.
What were you playing?
Oh, fuck knows. I was just watching. I was just kind of standing there. But he was lovely. He was a lovely man. He'd watched me wrestle. So I was kind of, oh, how you doing, Robbie?
I'm saying
it was to 4 a.m. It was probably at 30:30 at night for 15 minutes. But
yeah, he watched you wrestle. So you returned the favour and watched him play blackjack.
rather that than watch him managing a football team.
Well, Ewan, thank you very much for coming on the open line this week. We really appreciate your time. And remember, you can hear Ewan across Scotland.
Piss off, you wanker.
John, sorry for cutting you off. Ewan, stay there. I just want to ask you one more thing before you go. How good was a few weeks ago, mate, when we won the league?
Hey, man.
Hey, Ewan. Tall.
What?
Get it right fucking up, you.
Let's move...
He's brilliant.
Let's move on to the next caller on the open line. It's Dean. Dean, you're through to the panel. What do you want to say?
How are we doing?
How you doing, mate?
What's happening?
I'm not bad. No worries. I'm not bad. How you doing, Chris?
I'm all right, mate.
No bad. We've had better days.
Oh,
certainly have, mate.
Talk to us, mate. What's wrong with you?
What's up, bro?
No.
Listen, you're in a safe space, mate.
Aye, what's wrong with you? Dean, talk to us. What is it?
Nah, I've had a good 10 years. We've had one bad year. I don't mind.
Ah, you don't mind me. That's good.
Aye, sorry. You're a prick, Steve.
Anyway, what's going on?
Oh, by the way, I was going to wear that today, but I decided to go for the old America 94. How about this number, lads?
Love that top.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Dean, you're through the panel. What do you want to say this week, mate?
I've got a couple of questions for Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to ask, there's more rumours about Roy Keane and Nicky Butt today. I know the sound of your tone there, but what do you think of that partnership?
Mate, honest to God, I says to the boys last night, obviously a knee-jerk reaction when I heard that what might be happening. I was like, see if they appoint Keane, I'm done. It's just, they're so tone-deaf, aren't they? They've got no, they cannot feel, they obviously don't understand the feelings of the fans here. Because I don't know one person that wants Roy Keane as a Celtic manager.
Me.
I don't know one person.
He does.
Stevie, obviously.
Me, aye. There you go. Is your one, Graham? Two?
No, but
I'd love to. I'm being serious. I'd love to see it. I think it would spice it.
Gerard, it would be absolute foil ammunition for the fucking press, man. It would be like Gerard versus Keane, Liverpool versus Man United, Rangers versus Celtic. It's box office, but who knows, mate? Like, the thing is, Gerard was never tested as a manager. And he's come up here.
I bet Roy Keane has been tested as a manager and he's shite at it.
I know, but he's not really, it's not been for, coming up to say, I don't know, he could, I'm trying to make a case for him.
Stevie, there's no case for it. Dean, do you feel the same way as me, mate?
I think there's better options than Roy Keane.
There's better options sitting here on this show. No.
Dean, what's the better options?
I'd rather go for a younger manager, like Rangers have done with Gerrard. Something similar. I would fancy Eddie Howe. I think I'd give him a shout. I think he's a decent manager.
See, as a Rangers fan, as Bob says, that appeals to me, the Roy Keane and the Gerrard thing. But see, what I think about as well, folk talking about it on internet, do you know, like Keane as well, right? These football players watch Keane on the telly every week. And he's never got a smile on his face.
Nah, he's an ignorant, arrogant bastard. That's the fucking problem.
That's what I'm saying. There's a modern day football. Are they going to be open to him coming in and laying down the law? They're like, oh, fuck that, man.
See, if this is a Dermot Desmond appointment, he is still stuck with the fact that he appointed Martin O'Neill and Martin O'Neill done what he done for the club. What he should be looking at is the fact that he appointed Brendan Rodgers and Brendan Rodgers done what he done for the club. Celtic need a manager that's going to be there on the training ground. He's not going to be shouting and bawling at players. Footballers are nearly the same as they were 25 years ago. Do you know what I mean? See, if you've got a manager that's shouting and bawling, they're just going to down tools. That's what happened with Lennon. Going for Roy Keane is just going for somebody in the exact same mould as Neil Lennon, and it's not going to work. It's fucking embarrassing, and it's so backwards thinking, it's unbelievable.
Honestly, I think it's a great move, man.
I think you're a great move.
thank you. Come on, Roy, come on up, Roy, come on.
No.
Is there anything else? You said you had a couple of points, Dean.
Yeah, I've got a question for Stephen and Grado as well. It's about Rangers. Can you see any Rangers players being sold this summer? And do you think Rangers will sign more players to strengthen?
Yes. Yes.
You can get any more detail of that, because right now I don't want to think about that. See, right now I'm just trying to enjoy myself, and whatever happens in the summer is going to take care of itself. I'd love Alfie to stay for another year. I would love to see him have a go at Champions League. I'd love Kamara to stay. I'd love Davis has signed up good, but I know that if they're going to be offered big money, they're going to take it. And right now I'm just wanting to enjoy the rest of the season and try and not think about the summer.
Mm-hmm.
beautifully illustrated, Graham. I love that. It was lovely. I think, depending on how, again, there's a lot of folk ranting and raving about how well Kamara played the other night. Read a few reviews of his performance, blah, blah, blah. I think if he has a good Euros, I think he will sign a new deal, but I think you'll see he'll go in the summer. If he has a good Euros, if Barisic has a good Euros, then...
Is Kamara out of contract, Stevie?
No, I think he's got a year left. He's on the cusp of signing a new deal, but I've got the feeling he'll sign a new deal with a kind of... with certain things included in his contract.
Clauses.
I think he'll go in the summer.
Venice come in for him.
Aye. I think we will strengthen. Frank, you've seen Gerrard after we won the league. He wants more. He's not here just to win one league and then fucking down tools. I think if we play our cards right, yous are in a kind of transitional period, as Dermot Desmond said, this year was always going to be for yous. I think we need to take advantage of that, and I think we will strengthen. And I think the way you see Gerrard, he wants more.
What do you think, Mark? What kind of market do you think Rangers will be shopping in, Stephen? Do you think it'll be like English Championship? Do you think they'll be looking to, you know, do the kind of Celtic mode where they're going to the French leagues, they're going to look for loan players from Premiership sides? How do you think you'll go about
it? I think it's kind of, I mean, you've seen, we've kind of looked at like Croatia and that quite a lot as well. Like you see like Katic and Barisic and stuff. So that kind of, I think with Ross Wilson there, he's got a right good book of contacts, man. I think Ross Wilson and Gerrard look like they're singing for the same hymn sheet. Do you know what I mean? I think they'll have targets in place. As you've seen, we brought the two Bournemouth boys. We're already thinking about the next season. We brought the two boys in. We signed them on pre-contracts a couple of months ago.
There's a lot of talk of Lindstrom as well for Sheffield United, aren't there?
Aye, there is. Aye, he's quite... He'd get sent off in his first old firm, I think.
Do you not think that he would be a direct replacement for Kamara? Because how do you play...
He's not the same type of player, Chris, man. Lindstrom's a fucking...
madman.
Run through a brick wall for you. Solid cunt. Kamara's mayor just calm down. I've got the ball, man. Brown, where you going, mate? Know what I mean? That kind
you
of
know
player.
That. Maybe we should be fucking looking at him then.
Maybe. Well, to answer your question there, mate, yes and yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Dean, thanks for coming on the open line this week, mate. Really appreciate that. Thanks for listening to Football Daft.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
See you later on, pal. See you later, pal.
You too, mate. Cheers.
And remember, if you want to get on the open line next week, you know what? The best bet, get on our Patreon, patreon.com/footballdaft. You get loads of extra content from the show up there, including our bonus podcast. You get teammates, you get the outtakes from the show. Get on board, get on there and get signed up, or look out for the links on our Twitter.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Football Daft's big question.
Right, boys, after Kemar Roofe's challenge in last week's European game, we've asked what is the worst tackle you have ever witnessed? That is a big question this week. What are you thinking, boys?
For me, if we're going by Kemar Roofe's one, I think Daniel LaRusso on Johnny Lawrence. back in the day. Was a really bad tackle.
Hey, at least fucking Johnny did eventually get up for it, but...
Daniel did admit a few years later that it was an illegal kick.
It was an illegal kick. Aye, it was...
For me, the worst one... I don't
know what you're on about.
Fucking karate kid! Oh. Cobra Kai.
I'm Googling it.
Kiddo, man, see if you watch that back and all you've done your wee laugh as if you didn't know what we're talking about to begin with. You did this. Look, you did this.
I know, because I'm going, all right.
We should have kept that one going. LaRusso played for Milan, Kiddo.
I'm taking Johnny Lawrence tackle. What the fuck's that? Anyway, I'll tell you about mine then. I just saw one the other day. Boy, get 9 months for it. 9 month ban.
I think it was
in Hong Kong. I think it's Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
I think it was Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Well, if I look at it, it says HCMC versus HNFC. And there's a lot of kind of, I don't know. I think it's, I could be wrong. However, it's a really, really bad tackle. And they go, the fella doesn't mean it. He goes in, oh, breaks the guy's ankle, and he immediately checks to see if he's all right. But the next day, I mean, that's not nothing like the SFA. They deal with us right away. There's no 2-3 weeks carry on, and the boy has been banned for nine months for tackling. But the argument is there, you know, if a guy does do that and he does take somebody out, should you be sidelined for the amount of time that this boy is going to be sidelined for?
That's an interesting point, actually.
I think it's harsh, but it's a crazy, crazy tackle. So if he's wanting to get that on the internet, just type in the fact that I Hung Dung, take that in. It says Hung Dung. HUNGDUNG. And take that into YouTube and write tackle.
I wouldn't be typing in Hung Dung into YouTube.
No, I wouldn't be typing.
Pornhub.
I just
think it's Vietnam.
Make sure you don't do a typo.
Aye.
So that's mine.
Mine's just got to be, always sticks in my head, man, the incoming potential Celtic manager, Roy Keane and Alfie Harland, man, that's just fucking... Because you remember the backstory as well. Alfie Harland accused Roy Keane of being a diver, didn't he? In a game they played previous. And then he always said, I'm going to get him back. And that challenge is fucking... He didn't miss him. That ended his career, more or less, didn't it? He had a comeback, didn't he?
He did come back
after it, but and played a game. And he was never the same, and then he never played after that. That's got to be up there, man. Got to be.
But the worst one that I've ever seen in person, it was Celtic versus Benfica at Parkhead. And the boy went over the ball, and I don't know how Scott Brown's leg wasn't in five places, wasn't he broken five places, man. It was a really, really bad tackle. The boy got sent off, he ended up getting a further ban as well. So, that was a bad one. But I've seen a lot on telly, you know, a lot on telly. Like the worst ones, the Crystal Palace, Dave Boost.
Oh, God, remember that one? That was fucking disgusting, man.
And again, just accidental, but, you know, that nearly ended that guy's life. He nearly had his leg amputated. You know,
that's how I don't think you can have the rule, like, we're talking about there. Like, that was accidental. It's a game. You have a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a contact sport. There's going to be tackles flying in.
But like Grado said there, should you be out for as long as the person's injured? What if you do end a career? Are you never allowed to play again?
Exactly.
You know, I think you've got to mention as well, like, I don't want to ask, so in person, it happened quite pretty much in front of me, was the Ion Garia tackle on John Kennedy for Scotland against Romania. It was just horrible. And obviously, John Kennedy, you know, ended his career effectively.
Look at the effect it's had on Celtic and all. Cunts in the fucking dugout now, cause it. You know what I mean?
Let's get up here. I'm loving this hatred for John Kennedy today, man. Right, let's get to some of the listeners. Alex says Oliver Kahn on Michael Moles. I remember that night. I remember that night well.
Wow. Rangers absolutely. I don't think he ever recovered from that, to be honest with you.
He was never the same player. Rangers, we played Bayern after the park that night. I don't know how we didn't win that game. It was heartbreaking, man. And then, obviously, Michael Moles, one of the best talents ever to play in this country, was never the same player.
Nah, you're right. Whiskey D, he says, Jason DeVos and Kevin McDonald, the double challenge on Fabian Caballero. He says, absolutely disgusting. Pretty much ruined his chances of becoming a top player. And it still saddens me to this day.
The next one is Jim McKay. He says, Barisic on Edward from John Kennedy.
Can you maybe put a wee bit more room for it, Tom?
Jim McKay has got in contact. He says, Barisic on Edward from John Kennedy.
that's better. Raymond Strang says, Schumacher on Battiston. Remember that? We'll talk about that, won't we?
We were talking about that the other day, weren't we?
Player was lying dead for a short spell. It was wild.
He was actually dead on the park. That's nuts.
Wow. Sandy, he says Roy Keane's tackle on Alf Inge Haaland. I think we've already mentioned that.
Mad Alf Inge.
Alf Inge.
What is it?
Alf Inge. Haaland.
Tackle Roy Keane done on fucking that inch.
I forgot about this one. This was a right badging. Kevin Muscat's tackled on Adrian Zara versus Melbourne Heat in January of 2011. If you've not seen it, watch it.
That's a lot of folk take that memory of Kevin Muscat now, and it's one of the first things they kind of think about when they think of Muscat these days, isn't it?
David Proven, wonder if it's red David Proven.
Kill me.
Yeah, I genuinely didn't mean that as a kill mate moment. I was in my world there reading this one, going, why the fuck's Boris Johnson getting mentioned? Sorry, Gredo. Boris Johnson tackling Maurizio Godino in an England v Germany charity match for Soccer Aid, ran at him like a drunk bull and headbutted him straight in the nuts. I remember that.
Is nobody picking up on the fact that Davey Provins tweeted us?
I was going to say that it's that.
Mate, but Boris is there's other footage of him. You ever seen
him? Remember, he nearly killed that Wayne.
Out the Wayne.
Aye, that's right.
You know what I mean? That's funny, man. Anyway, Ali's saying he's supposed to say Neil Lennon headbutting Alan Shearer's foot. I think that's a funny one there from Alan.
Kyle Johnson says Ben Thatcher on Pedro Mendes knocked him out. I remember that. It was Man City versus Portsmouth. Remember, he'd forearmed him and knocked him clean out.
He did. Aye, actually KO'd him, man. He did.
That was a badge in that one.
Dylan has got in touch, says, just looking at myself naked in the mirror, that's two red cards right away.
I'm a bit funny for Dylan.
You go, Dylan, don't be too harsh on yourself. Dylan, I'm sure you are loved.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Find them on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at G4 Claims Limited.
It's the Player Profile Playoff with piesports.com, bringing you the taste of Scottish football to your home. You can get pies off their website now. You get all sorts of packages up there. And remember, you can even call them on the phone, 0141 739 9999, 0141 739 9999. Get your pies in for the football. Scotland in action this weekend, so get the pies in for that, and I'm sure you'll enjoy them. They're free of charge to a bunch of postcodes across Scotland. You can check that out on their website. Now, normally on this part of the show, we put one of the boys up against a listener, but after last week's annihilation, Stitto is back on, and Grado suggested that there should be some sort of Champions League playoff between Stitto and previous winner Craig Fryett, who wiped the floor with Grado. So here we have, it's the Champions League Player Profile Playoff. We've got Craig on, we've got Stitto on. How you doing, boys?
This is meaty.
Stitto's just like that, man, right?
Yeah. Aye. Stitto's like that, just another one to add to the list. That's Craig, what he's saying.
Craig, I'm worrying for you here, mate. Aye. I mean,
Craig, I'm supporting you here, mate. I'm supporting
Craig's,
you, Craig.
Bob's supporting you, Craig. Toll thinks that Stitto, I mean, after what you just said after there, that just Toll is 100% back in all Stitto, ain't you, Toll?
Oh, 100%. I've never supported a Hearts jersey in my fucking life, but I'll tell you what. H-E-A-R-T-S.
Are you nervous, Craig? Did you watch Gordon last week?
Aye, he was good.
He was good, wasn't he?
I love
and
us.
Gordon, are you aware of Craig's work?
I'm aware of Craig's work, yep. He's done well.
Come on, boys, this is too nice.
Don't butter him up. Come on, he fucked it in about it. Slag his hat or something like that.
I can't slag anyone for this.
Right, boys, here it is then. This week we're going back to the 2011-2012 season. Celtic were the champions. Scottish Cup winners were Hearts, obviously, Stitto. And unfortunately, bad news for you, Craig, it was the year that Rangers went into liquidation. So, how's your knowledge of that season, boys?
Look at Toll's face when you said that there, John. That was fucking, look at him. Fucking Cheshire Cat, look at him.
Yeah. Has he got a stoner?
I'm getting my big juice now.
Hang about after we go off here and I'll show you.
Right, boys, so you know how the game works. I'm going to read out a player from that season. If you know the answer, you buzz in, you give your answer. If you do buzz in, you forfeit your chance. However, as it's the Champions League playoff this week, it's not two, first to two, it's first to three, okay?
Oh, yeah, fucker. Oh, yeah, fucker. The stakes have been raised.
I'm I'm pure nervous for these two.
I know, man.
Right. Stick to watch your buzzer.
It'll be 5-1. Worked well last week, so 5-1. And the year Hearts won the cup, so 5-1.
Craig, what are you going for?
55.
Oh, Jack. Good.
Going with Jack, right, okay. Here we go then, boys. Right, you ready for this? Grado, you're the referee.
Right.
Okay.
Let's get it on.
Right. Ready, here we go. First player. This striker re-signed for Hibs for his second spell in this season after having...
5-1.
5-1, Stitto.
Gary O'Connor.
1-0, Stitto.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. Right, come on, Craig. Let's get in the game.
John sends him the questions before he comes on, by the way.
Right, here we go. Second player. This player signed up for a second loan spell at Rangers in this season from Arsenal.
Jack.
Craig.
Kyle Bartley.
1-1.
Oh,
yes, Craig, come on.
Right. Okay, here we go. Third player out. This midfielder rejoined Motherwell from Norwich after becoming a free agent in November of this season. Craig.
Stephen Hughes.
2-1, Craig.
Oh!
This, Craig, is for the win. Stitto, you need to get involved here. Here we go. This player came through the Hearts Youth Academy, making over 150 appearances for the Tynecastle Club as a goal-scoring midfielder. He was subject to transfer bids from the likes of Burnley, Coventry...
5-1.
Gordon, Stitto.
Andy Driver.
2-2!
This is exciting, man.
Here we go. Final player. This is for the win, boys.
Come on, Stitto.
Come on, Craig.
Come on, the Perries. Please, if you know the answer.
Right. Take your time, boys. Take your time.
And don't jump in. Don't jump in.
This St. Johnstone striker joined the Perth team on loan from CSKA Sofia in this season.
Jack.
5-1.
Oh. Craig was in first.
Cillian Sheridan.
Yes. Well done. Well done.
Well done, Craig.
Oh, yes!
Fucking hell, man.
Well done, Craig, man.
That was well,
I'm sweating and I wasn't even involved.
I'll tell you this one. Thank fuck I wasn't playing this week because the only one I knew was Cillian Sheridan.
There you go. Well done.
I was more about you, Toa.
I know, Toe, mate.
It's all about me.
Toe, start David with me. Well done, Craig. Well played,
Craig, well done. Listen, I know you're not at your pies yet. Double pie delivery. And do you know what? As a bonus, a Football Daft t-shirt as well.
Oh, well done, man. Hey, how do you feel? Well, how do you feel?
I'm good. I was pretty nervous this week because still was good last week. Really good.
That was a good game. Good game.
I'd fucking beat you next week, Craig.
First time I came on here, I banned up bloody Toe because I wanted to beat him. And it's like, oh, well, Chris has got the best knowledge of it. You know what I mean? Fuck all. I just wanted to beat him.
Brilliant.
Brilliant, man. That was brilliant.
Thanks, boys.
That was well done.
All the best, boys. All the best.
That was brilliant.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Get them now at notatfaultclaims.com.
John, I tell you what, I've always fancied getting LinkedIn just to kind of broaden my horizons with new opportunities and stuff like that. Is that something I should be getting?
No, definitely get on LinkedIn. See if you're looking for like a career move, looking to network, you run your own business. LinkedIn is the place to go for. On Football Daft, I use it a lot. We've got the likes of Miksu Patalainen on this show, Morris Ross. We've got a lot of guests through LinkedIn because it's a great place to network, especially when you're running a football podcast. And 2021 is looking up because, we're going to get out of this lockdown, which is going to be new opportunities to grow with your business. Whether you're shifting your business hours or hiring more remote employees, the one thing that remains unchanged is the importance of having the right people on your team. Obviously, yeah. We've got a brilliant team on Football Daft, you know. However, we wanted to get rid of Chris Toll and we're ready to make the next hire, right? Ready to get someone else on board, right? Okay. LinkedIn Jobs can help us and we can match role with qualified candidates so we can find the right person quickly, you know? And to lay the help in hand, with the offer we've got, you can get your job post up there for free. right? Wow. So if we go to the LinkedIn jobs platform, we could put up Football Daft, presenter wanted. We'll find the right person via LinkedIn. It's an active community for professionals with more than 30 million members. It's easy to get started on it, and there's new features there that can help you find qualified candidates quickly. So if we went in LinkedIn and we're looking for a new presenter, we say, must know about Scottish football.
Right.
Well, told, isn't he? But
it's probably not a qualification for this podcast, to be fair. post a job with targeted screening questions and you'll be able to get your role, get qualified candidates up front really easily. You can manage your job posts and contact candidates from a single view on LinkedIn.com. The functions are pretty streamlined. It's really easy to use. So it's all in like one simple screen so you can see it. It's really easy to use. And you can do it all from your mobile as well. So you can do it from wherever you want. And that's basically how LinkedIn jobs can help you hire the right person faster.
So what do you do? What should we do now?
Well, when you're ready to make that next hire, maybe we could look at moving to on and getting somebody else in, you know. We can find the right person with LinkedIn jobs, and you now post a job up there for free. Just visit linkedin.com/daft. That's LinkedIn, and if you don't know how to spell LinkedIn, it's linkedin.com/daft, and you can post a job for free. However, terms and conditions do apply.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767 172.
Now let's welcome to Football Daft a man who played midfield for the likes of Falkirk, Dundee United and Aberdeen before becoming manager at Ayr United. He's of course a champ man legend. He is Mark Kerr.
Welcome to the show, Mark. Mark, welcome. And before we start, I think I just want to say I've never seen John... Well, I have seen him this happy when Lee Miller was on and John Hughes. And you're up there, mate. It's the most giddy we've seen him, isn't it, boys?
It's cute, man.
Do you know what it's like? You know what it's like? Remember when you were at school and you fancied somebody? That's what it's like, innit?
No, but see, in all honesty, Mark, see when you lay out your Falkirk club in my lifetime, you're definitely in that midfield.
Look him,
it's as if he's about to start greeting. This is
amazing. Hey, I appreciate that, mate. That's brilliant. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Mark, me, Grado and Chris are just going to go and we'll come back at the end of the interview, right? We'll just see if he was on now, right?
At least 20 minutes.
John, stop recording. We'll give you 20 minutes.
Hey, Grado, do you want to ask your customary question?
Was you a fan of the football when you were growing up, mate?
That's his new one, mate. Ask everybody he's that now.
Fan of the football?
Did you like it, mate, when you were growing up? Did you follow the football?
Aye, mate, that was me, really. I was Cope Bridge, so we just fired at the front of the flats I stayed in. Uh-huh. That was us out there, but I was in, probably. I used to go to Celtic games when I didn't get into going to games until I was about 12 or 13, but then I would go to other games as well, do you know what I mean? Like round about, just go to sometimes the Rovers games and that. So I wasn't massive on getting to go to games and all that. It was more just playing the street and then sticking in, really. But aye, obviously, along the way, you kind of don't take it that serious, maybe for a short period. But most of the time, my dad was amazing for us. He kept us into it and that, and really, really. Sometimes it's hard on you, but brilliant. He looked after us a lot with that kind of stuff.
Mate, talking about like obviously what just happened, unfortunately, at Ayr, how did you find your first managerial experience? How was it going for a player playing for so many clubs and stuff and then getting into management? How did you find it?
I loved it. I loved the boys. I mean, there was brilliant boys there. And last year we finished in the top four, which was what we were meant to kind of carry on and do because we got off to a good start being McCall that season. So brilliant experience, but we getting cut short and never got to play the playoffs, and I think that would have been a good experience for me to learn from. And then this year has been an absolute disaster, to be honest. Boys getting changed in the terrace, and I've not managed in a dressing room this season. Boys don't get their breakfast, lunch, get nothing really. You're just basically in, shouting the boys off the terrace and setting up a session and going. So try to build a team spirit. Last year was fine. This year, I only had four players, so I built a full new squad. That's why it's hard to take, because I know it's a right good, strong squad that was getting built there. And the boy, I still think they've got a chance of getting the playoffs. And Hoppy will do well there. But it was great. There was a lot of a lot of good stuff, Stephen, but this year has been hard. It has been hard for the way I know football.
Do you think that's been a major impact on it, Mark? The fact that you've not had that dressing room atmosphere, the boys have not been able to really interact and stuff like that, get to know each other. You know what I mean? So do you think that's been had a big impact on the fact that maybe you didn't get as much out of them as you could have if you were in a normal managing environment?
Aye, definitely. But everybody was in the same boat. For me, it was probably just timing. The new owner came in and we were sitting fourth or fifth the full season. In 2 weeks, we dropped to ninth, but because we had two games in hand. And the form wasn't great on that run, but that's the form of the Championship, but it's magnified with the 27-game season. So as soon as you're down there, the panic starts. And social media and all that kind of stuff plays its part. And it is just down to timing. It was down to timing. And I'm no bitter about it at all. It's one of these things. David Smith came in, new owner. Brilliant guy. And I've no hard feelings. I'll still speak to David and obviously over my career or just in general. But I've no hard feelings towards him. I think these things happen. I do think it was quite quick. We're only 15 games into a season, but it's only a 27-game season. We were 4 points off playoffs, sitting in ninth position, which sounds mental, but it's just everyone's been impacted with the short season, etc. You know what I mean?
See, you're talking about, obviously, you never really got long, and it was a bit unprecedented timing, should I say. But see, with the time that you did have with the players, you've played with loads of clubs, you've played with loads of great managers. Was any particular manager where you thought, I'm going to kind of base how I manage on this guy? Was it MD you went and you look kind of took for?
I think about most. There was probably in my career, probably three or four that didn't quite go well and they were in and out the club quite quickly. But Ian McCaw, I didn't change anything for him with the team spirit and stuff like that. Fair if I'm working my way back. He was brilliant the way he motivated boys and stuff. I'm a different character for the gaffer. He's nuts at times, but brilliant to work under. a good manager. And then Hoosted at Falkirk Hoosted didn't do much coaching anymore, but I knew him as a coach. So I liked to be Hoosted could talk to you, but didn't need to be in your face all the time and on the training ground. So there's been a lot. Craig Levein, I know Craig Levein gets a lot of kind of stick about his style of play and stuff, but Craig Levein was one of my best managers because he wanted you to pass the ball. I know people say he's negative and stuff. Wanted you to pass the ball, would encourage you to have balls about you every time on the park to go and do things. So I'm probably a lot of managers different stuff, but I did try to stay the same. I didn't try to turn into that aggressive, hard man actor and like that. I just kind of, I always tried to treat the boys well. And to be fair, sometimes I was probably too loyal to one or two boys at a time where I probably need to look after myself there. When you know the chips are down in probably my last 3 or 4 weeks, you know, I probably need to just go. The thing was for me to go back in the team. It was crying out for a bit of experience in the middle just to help the boys in certain games. And players were coming in and saying that to me and asking me that.
Really?
Oh, honestly, aye. Because I was talking to the boys and they weren't doing anybody else in. They just, it was experienced players saying, I think we just need that wee bit of experience in the middle. And I maybe should have just went, you know what, I've all gone. And I never done it, but I didn't think that was right because I believed in the boys that were there. But it was a wee bit of that. Maybe I did stay loyal to certain players at certain times. But the boys hadn't done much wrong. Do you know what I mean? They hadn't done much wrong. It was just the situation we were in. But as a manager, I just stayed kind of true to myself. I didn't change much as a person, you know.
Basically, you come through at Falkirk and there was loads of players in that dressing room that were club legends, like John said earlier on. Who was it that put their arm around you and, you know, kind of took you under their wing? What one of them was it that you would say, he was kind of like my mentor kind of thing?
Kevin McAllister was obviously probably Falkirk's biggest legend, and Crunchy and Scott Crabbe are brilliant to me. Two guys that even got off the new contract. I left school at 16. I played my first game and it was my first year. I was only 17. But the two of them totally looked after me. They would give you a wee bit at times, but you could just tell they wanted you to do well. So I think they'd done my first deal for me at Falkirk. I think the guys actually advised me on, I didn't ask for anything. Obviously, you just get your I think it was 140 pound or some YTS, and mm-hmm. he got like, I think it was 250 pound. My first contract was a week, but they'd done all that and said, "So I'll get a wee appearance in there, Mark." And I like talking the gaffer was brilliant that way. But they guys, they 100% looked out for me for day one. And to be honest, I still speak to Crunchy. He's a brilliant guy. But there was Falkirk's amazing club. See me were at Brockville, John will know that. But the guys that were in that dressing room were amazing for younger boys coming through. Just proper good guys. Took you out in all the Christmas nights out. They involved you in everything, even though you were a young boy. And on the part, they were willing to help you. They weren't just fighting to keep their own place in the team.
Mark, was that 2002? I mean, you know, you played in some great sides with Aberdeen, Dundee United, but as a Falkirk supporter, that 2002-2003 side under Ian McCall, when you had Yogi in there, had Kevin James, you had Owen Coyle, Lee, you know, Taylor, Stuart Taylor, I mean, Davy Nicholls. I mean, that was the season we beat, obviously, Parts 4-0 in the Scottish Cup as well. I mean, was that one of the best sides you played in? Because certainly as a supporter watching that side, it's probably the best Falkirk side I've ever seen.
They were a brilliant team. So I see, you only think of football because it's a short career, but you only kind of think short term. So I'm thinking my team, they went to playoff cup final. With, like, Will Vaults and...
Yeah.
Jackson Lee and all that again. What an amazing group. Really tight group of boys. And I was kind of a leader there, so it was kind of flippy that 2002. I was a young boy kind of thing, and I think I learnt a lot in a couple of years. But that was a brilliant team. But it's probably how I learned how to look after young boys. I think most of the time, some I take a lot of pride in, and most time boys speak about me on an interview or that, they say, "Oh, Mark kind of looked after as a young boy." And that's only because these guys done that with me. And
aye.
I never changed that as a manager. I made sure I'd done that. I wanted to do that and kind of look after these boys. And brilliant team, great players. Lucky to play in that kind of team to win a league, because you find out as you go on, you don't win a lot in your career unless you play with Rangers or Celtic. So these teams are special when you're looking back in your career.
You must have been gutted though. I mean, that was the season we obviously went on to win the league. Obviously, for as in usual Falkirk fashion, we didn't get promotion even though we won the league. It was last season at Brockville. You know, it was just a great season, but obviously sad at the end of it.
I know. I think me and I'd agreed to sign a new deal, because people think he just left because I got a wee bit of pelters when I left as well. But we'd won the league, didn't go up because of the seating criteria. But I'd already had a contract in place and I said I would sign it if we went up. And we didn't, so I left. I was meant to go down to England, but I ended up going to Dundee United because Ian McCall was there, and I was guaranteed to be kind of getting a chance of playing anyway. I obviously still had to do well, but it was sad because we didn't get to. I believe that squad and that was good enough, and Yogi and that was going to be his first season in charge as a manager going up. So it was quite a hard one for as a young boy leaving there and trying to make the right decision as well at the same time.
Mm. Well, I mean, that Dundee United squad that he ended up playing alongside, they were a great team for years as well, weren't they?
Aye, we had the first year I went up, I think it was the first they'd been in the top six for. I think they were really struggling a year, and then Eddie Thompson had put a bit of money in. McCall brought a lot of players in, spent a lot of money on good players, but we finished top end of the table, and then we had two cup finals the next year. And McCall, I think Ian McCall left midway through that. Then Chizzy took over for a spell, so the team was still quite, and then it kind of had a wee dip with Craig Booster for about, I think it was 6-7 months.
Aye, that's right.
Craig Levine came in and turned the full club around.
That's right.
Craig Levine came in and turned the full club around, so he did, and went on to, obviously Hoosty won the Scottish Cup, but we should have won the League Cup with my pass back.
Mate, I wasn't going to mention that, mate, but you've brought it up, so you want to talk us through what happened there, mate?
To be honest, I was right up against Barry Ferguson. He's starting the background there, but he's class player. What I mean, brilliant. I think we get through against Hibs 2-1. The round of four, and that's the best game I've ever been involved in. Then the cup final came, and we were brilliant that day. We were excellent. Mm-hmm. We won we're winning 1-0. I remember Quayla pulled big Christian back. He should have been 2-0 because we should have got the penalty. But
I don't know.
I was sure. No, generally, I was throwing about that game, like getting loads of the ball, and I actually didn't mean to pass it back to the keeper. I went to pass it back to my Lee Wilkie, and he's at that time Streaky's just squeezing the line up, so it goes by Streaky and Boydie's read it to the goalie, but it was never for the goalie up. And the hardest bit for me is Eddie Thompson hadn't won a cup. I'm glad that obviously he did the Scottish Cup after that, but that's the biggest thing. I always regret that. And Dundee United fans have not got the best relationship with him now because of it. But
really?
Seriously? Dundee United fans really held that name. Obviously, I go to Aberdeen from them, which is a wee bit of a rivalry. But it does hurt your things with your... I just got on me.
It's not like you've meant to do that. Can the fans hold
it? It's fucking Lee Wilkie's fault.
like fucking Streaky fucking off. Oh, I mean, he should have been there.
Dafty.
Then I'm sitting, boys are greeting after the game and all that because we've lost. And I'm like, fucking hell, this is me, it's caused this.
But you know what, Mark, you got your own back. You ended up scoring the winner against them. Am I right?
I think
that's
cool, that, you know, Chris. I don't think I
could
ever make up for this, mate.
I'm just, honestly, I know that's horrible, but just the thought of you just walking about seeing all these men greeting me, fuck, man, they're greeting because of me. You're right, mate. You're right. You know what I mean?
I think we went 2-1 up again, and then we lost it. And I think we lost a goal like 2 minutes to go next.
That's right. Then I made penalties.
Brilliant, man. And then. There was about 3 boys scudding the ball over the bar and a penalty shootout and all. Nothing's ever been mentioned. Just
oh my
god. But mate, after that you're saying you went to Aberdeen, worked with Jimmy Calderwood at Aberdeen. We've had a few stories about him in this show, haven't we, Jimmy Calderwood? Aye, so how did you find him, mate, as a manager?
I loved him, man. He's a player. I was straightforward. I was just going just work flat out. So I never had a problem with any manager, like personally, until I was older, right enough. I had a couple, but
We'll get to that, mate.
Jimmy was brilliant. So he was with me, brought us in, managed me perfectly. My first year at Aberdeen was excellent. Fans loved us and made a good season. I think we finished third or fourth that year, a really good season. And I loved it. But things were going on behind the scenes that season. It was a bit strange. Obviously, I wasn't there. Yeah, I think it had been bubbling over for the couple of years before that, the Scottish Cup and the League Cup and that. There was always a thing about Aberdeen not getting by the semi-finals. So, again, that kind of took its toll. But he was a brilliant guy. He liked to laugh in that and easy going. My only one thing with the offer, I get suspended. And I had a christening and asked for the Monday off. He said no. And I'd played some like 32 games in a row. And I thought, he loves me anyway, he'll give me the Monday off. But he's like, no, you sent off last week. You're not getting the Monday off this week. You're playing the reserves. Come on, man, you're kidding me on. He's like, no. But I ended up, I never went in the Monday. It's the only time I've ever done it. Yeah. I went to christening and didn't make it in. And he dropped me. At Parkhead, but he put in the paper that I was not well.
Oh, he likes doing that, doesn't he? Going to the paper when folk fucking.
Jamie Langfield,
he ended up. I feel sorry for his missus having made that.
Was that the Magaluf incident?
Well,
see, with me, he covered it up for me because he was just like, he's like, all right, you've not done anything wrong. You did ask for the Monday off, blah, blah, blah. But you're still no playing Saturday and you're not even in the squad, but I'll no stitch you up. So he put in that I took no well at the hotel. I still travelled with the team. It was just a punishment, but he kind of covered up so I didn't get hammered. So he was brilliant. He looked after me. He did. He was classy. He had to stay in the, I don't know if the boys have said this, he had to stay in the players' lounge till 6:15 after the game. So all the missus, all the family were up and used to get the beer and the wine and all that, and he'd get around and talk to everybody. He loved it. He absolutely loved it.
That sounds good, that, after the game and just
going, aye. good when you win. Good, it's good when you're winning. It's for a couple of years. But
how did you find? See, when you were at Aberdeen, Mark. How did you find the rivalry with Rangers?
Was it right up your street being a Celtic man growing up?
That was brought. The games are class, aye. Oh, any game against see Celtic or Rangers, any game against them, the both teams are brilliant. But there was a definite the Rangers ones, and that team, the teams I played and done well against Rangers at Pittodrie. We turned them over a few times in Celtic, but there definitely was a needle there in the games, and the boys would talk. Ah, in fact, I got sent off in the one of the games. I think it's been easy diving as usual.
I'm trying to remember that.
I had about six stitches in my leg and all. I got 25 minutes in when McCall did me.
I've got that in my head, man.
Who stood on you?
Lee McCulloch.
Well, it's not like him, eh?
Remember,
Selick had a midfielder called Kai Allen until he met fucking Lee McCulloch. Right, Marky, obviously, you'll have heard this 100 million times, right? But when I talk to you about how good you were on Champ Manager, you are genuinely one of the greatest players in Champ Manager history.
It's still oil the forums when you look at everybody always mentions Mark Kerr.
That's it. So
did you play the game yourself, Mark?
Me another. My mates used to go mad for it in school, and then I left at 16, and then I was at boxing or football. That's what I used to do, so I never played the game. I don't think I had a computer, actually. To be honest, man. So I never played, but when I went to Aberdeen, we travelled a lot, we started to play it. Played it a bit then. It was good, I loved it when we were out. We'd done it for a couple of years there.
Did you see the difference in the team when you were picked? Did you see it happening?
No, because I was up to date, man. I've never played that or seen my version of it. Is it 2002 or something?
Is it no 2001?
2001, is it? Aye.
I think it's 2001,
I think. Aye. Mate, you're absolute superstar, man. Like, aye. Messi. Big time.
AC Milan always used to sign you, Matt. I don't know what it was. Any game I signed you.
It was Man United. I used to sign him for Celtic, and then Man United would be sniffing about him. It was a nightmare. You couldn't keep him happy either. Bastard.
Big ego, Chris, you know what I mean?
That's it, Marky. So, Andy, you moved on and you went and played your football abroad for a wee while. Now, I remember hearing some stories about what happened so that you could finally get the permission for Pat to move overseas. Tell us about it. What happened?
A big bag of money on the table.
A big bag of cash, my man.
That was true, aye. I was mad over there, man, honestly. It was brilliant. I went to a brilliant wee club outside Athens. But I had the chance to go to England before I went to Aberdeen. And we never moved away when I was younger because kind of Pat would never want to really gear up her job and stuff. And I was happy where I was going, where my career was progressing. But at that stage, I was 28. And we just thought, let's do it. Let's go and see what it's like. So it was excellent. Went over there, and that is true. They say, we'll give you this and we'll give you that. And to be fair, I actually get paid because a lot of boys go over there and get absolutely shafted. But no, it was good, mate. I absolutely loved it. I would have stayed longer, but Pat's that. She struggled after about a year. And to be fair, she was flying home on a Tuesday. And then fly back over the next Friday and stuff like that. We got to that stage. But she was loving it because the flights and all that were all paid and she used to go business class. So she used to go to Heathrow and then fly over and get a part like a Prosecco. So
that's brilliant.
She was quite enjoying it, you know what I mean?
That's right up Grado Street.
That's here, honestly, there's nothing better than a wee stowpath in London, as you say, a wee bit of Prosecco. That's what I saw about, especially business class. I'd be writing about that. I'm not joking.
Man. You know what they say, but happy wife, happy life, mate, innit?
Exactly.
So we'll talk about your return to Falkirk. Right, now John has been on at me since I says, do you know what, I'm going to try and get Marky on the show. He says, brilliant, because I want to know what happened with Paul Hartley. We kind of alluded to it a wee bit. He didn't give away too much, but
There was
talking of getting almost pulled over the fucking table anyway, so what happened?
And not in a good way.
No, definitely not, man. To be honest, that was the two things that happened to me. I went to Queens with Jim McIntyre to get back playing, so I'd done my cruise ship, and that was the only time I've ever had a bad injury. So I went to Queens, and it was an issue after the game, but people from upstairs were getting involved, filling gaps. So guys that were selling hospitality and all that ended up becoming down and being like assistant manager at Queens. And I'd never had an argument, but I ended up walked to Queens 2 days before the January window, and people thought it was to get back to Falkirk. And I'd manufactured it, but it wasn't. I just had done enough, and I says, I lost the plot and said to the guy, you know what, you can go and take an F and go and tell the chairman, and if you want to wrap up my contract, wrap it up. You should be back selling your hospitality, showing people to their seats. So I'd lost the plot at Queens for one day, and one day after the game, but I actually carried on to the Monday, thinking probably that'll get brushed under the carpet, but it didn't. And I said, get carried on. I just says, no, that just do what I said on Saturday, and I left. And lucky enough, I ended up at Falkirk. But I actually still speak to that guy at Queens that day. I was out of order. It's a heat of the moment after a game. And that's how I ended up back at Falkirk. So Falkirk was brilliant. Obviously successful with Hoosty for 3 years. Amazing group of boys.
That Hibs playoff game, Mark, was just unbelievable.
All right, John, put it away, son.
Oh.
Boys like Bob McHugh, like squad players, used to come on and score for that team, 92 minutes and on the clock, he'd come on and score a goal to make us, can I think we beat Rangers and Hibs in the last minute goal. So it was a good group of boys, and that was the kind of atmosphere we had in our dressing room. And then Paul Hartley came in, obviously the most experienced one is me, so I'm a target. And I was his captain, so he used to ask me questions. And me being me, I gave a straight answer, and an honest one. And I could start him to see him pulling away from it. You know, like, you weren't getting in as a captain on a Thursday to ask you the questions. And just one thing happened, he chucked a young boy in, we're not going too long. And the boy...
No, mate, heads. You talk.
Oh, this is me too.
Oh, this is great, I love this.
Kieran Dunn, great boy. He's actually Sunderland now. Kieran came on, set up a goal, done brilliant. Started the next week, done really well. See, by the third week, these young boys always take a dip. So Kieran took a massive dip in training. He was looking very nervous and all that. And the manager said to me, I'm going to play Kieran again for the start. And I said, Gaffer, he's struggling a wee bit. He's like, what do you mean he's strong? I said, he's starting to feel the pressure off of the boys now because he's starting. Players on the, you don't get that wee bit of leeway. Boys are on you. They demand more. And he wasn't handling it. So we started the game. Young boys missed 3 or 4 chances. And then gives away a penalty. And then he hooks him off at half-time. And I'm like, I was trying to look after Paul Hartley by saying it. I was just being honest. And for then, mate, I just think it turned as if I'd done something wrong. It was if me, I caused that, you know, rather than take a positive of it, that you can trust me. And I'll give him honest answers. But for then, mate, he obviously had his own ideas. Not everybody does. At the time, I was raging. I caught my one under the sun to his face in his room, and I absolutely hammered him. Shockingly hammered him probably. And it was like, you're leaving and this is happening, that's happening. And I was just swearing, obviously saying, no, that's not. I said, I wasn't saying that. I won't swear, but I'm saying, I won't effing, don't effing contact me over the next day. I'll be back in here training on Monday, and I'll effing decide when I leave this club and when I don't, blah, 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 because I still had a contract. And I did, that's what I done. But see, the thing is, I went back in on Monday and trained as hard as ever, didn't cause him a problem. Didn't cause one problem. And then I left with two or three days to go in the windy because I wasn't in squads and stuff like that. But it wasn't done properly. It wasn't done honestly and open up front with Paul Hartley. And I'm no slaggy guy because it's not easy being a manager. But at that time, we get made out to be two older guys that weren't happy with what he was trying to do at the club. And that wasn't the case. Not
you were right, Mark. You were absolutely right. Because, I mean, I think Paul, I'll say it for you, Paul Hartley's a fanny, right? But, yeah. but like, I mean, Houston, obviously, I thought was really hard done by, left the club, and then he's brought in, you know, that boys from, got like, I don't know how good they were in training, Mark, but you see these, you saw these boys in the park, and they've come from all over England, all these players that have all just, we signed about 12 players, and it just didn't gel, it didn't work, and I don't know how good they were in training, but it was just like, what is happening here? And then when I was like,
See, I didn't catch the rebuilding of the squad. I didn't catch that. I wasn't there, so I didn't see how good they were in training or not. But it was just plucking players from all over the place. Like it was generally just that what was happening. When we were there, it was just the way he treated people. People were like, it didn't matter who came in when he changed things. It generally was just to be awkward to the boys. And that wasn't great. Well, he's went on and he's managing at Cove because that's his missus' dad that kind of owns him. And he's won titles in League 2 and League 1 with Arlo, so he's done a bit in the game, and I wouldn't slag that, but he just didn't treat us properly, and he didn't go on to have a good one. And that's one thing I can say that I've not done it here. I've left a right good squad, and hope he'll get the benefit out of that.
That was going to be my next question, actually, Mark. Do you think that with Lee and Cracks in there, do you think you could maybe go in there in a coaching role or something until another management role actually comes up?
No, I'd love to get in there. I'd get in work there for nothing, to be honest. Chrissy, I would. But Lee and Cracks have got their thing going now, and I would never... I speak to the boys all the time, text them, as I've always done, all the best, but I would never try to angle my way in there because I know what it's like. You get people on the board, you get other people about the place that I've got brilliant relationships with, so they try to force the issue. But if that was to happen, it'd be down to Lee and Cracks. And I would never push anything like that because the boys are doing their job. And you know, it's like I could get in it, I end up get credit for something that they've done. So it's the time is not great. If anything was to happen with that, I would do it. I would openly do anything like that, especially with people that you trust and you can work alongside. But time is not right, and I don't think the boys need anybody, to be honest. I think they're doing a great job, and I definitely think they'll win the league. I don't think MD will catch them, so I'm delighted with that, and I hope everybody sticks with them.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, John's like, yes, Matt. Yes, Matt. Yes, Matt.
I'm on you, Bells.
This has been absolutely brilliant, mate, but we've come to the point in the interview where we have a wee quiz. We like to do a wee quiz, a Scottish football quiz.
Oh, we are murder.
Listen, don't worry about it. Listen, as long as you get more than three, then you won't be at the bottom. Cracks get one, and we got him back on the show to do it again so that he didn't just have one. Right.
So, I get my Google out here, man.
Right, so, Gredo, you want to ask your questions?
Aye, so we gave him a rundown of what the scores are recently.
Aye. Yeah, so we've got last week David Martindale went top of the leaderboard with a score of 16, right?
What? How many questions is there?
As many as you can answer in 90 seconds.
Oh, exactly. Right. In joint second, it's John Sutton and Chuck Young with 15. Then we've got Mark Wilson and Keith Lasley tucked in just behind them with 14. Other selected scores include Kenny Duker on 13, Jamie Langfield on 12, Lee Miller on 6. And at the bottom, it's a tie between Peter Lovenkranz, Derek Johnston, Craig Levine, and Mixu Patalainen. And they're on 3. Is there anybody you want to beat on there?
Barry for EastEnders on 4 as well.
Every week, you say.
I think that should be in there.
Don't forget about Barry.
Anybody
you want to beat there,
Mark? Fancy beating?
Anybody, man, to go off the bottom. I'm
panicking
here, man.
Right, but so you can't pass. You can't pass, right?
But in saying that, you can just say any answer. See if you don't know the answer, just say anything.
John, can I just say before we go here, just to be fair, I know he's a legend at Falkirk and you love him. It's 90 seconds, John. Okay. 120.
Okay.
Right?
Don't worry, Mark. I've got your back.
Ready?
Right. Ready, Gredo?
Right. And start. Who was Scotland manager during the 2004 Euro qualification campaign?
Betty Volks.
What nationality is Rangers midfielder Yanis Hadji?
Romanian.
Which side did Celtic sign Ryan Christie from?
Inverness.
In what year did you make your debut at Falkirk?
99.
The Dandies is a nickname for which SBFL team?
Aberdeen.
Chris Erskine, Stephen Saunders and Paul Payton all play for which Lowland League side?
East Kilbride.
Which midfielder pulled out of the Scotland squad this week?
Scott Bright.
How many goals did you score for Dundee United?
4.
Name one of Brora Rangers' scorers against Hearts.
Mark Kerr.
Jobby is the nickname of what League One manager?
Ian Murray. Don't know that one.
Which club did Rangers buy Glenn Kamara from?
Dundee.
Who is the current Aberdeen captain?
Ferguson.
What is Asterias Tripolis' home ground called?
Oh, I don't know that one. Jesus, man. Somerset Park.
Which Japan-based tournament did Scotland win in 2006?
Time.
A solid John.
Let him answer it.
Don't know, Carrying Cup or
something
like
that. You sure you don't want a crack answer on that? Asteris Tripolis home ground answer.
How do you pronounce it?
Why are you fucking putting that in, John?
That's who you played for them. Mark, you played for them.
Come on, try to see it, but try to see it.
Honestly, mate, I stayed about 500 yards from the ground too. I didn't even know what I'd done. Honestly.
Right, Mark, let's go through your wrong answers. You're off to a fire. You got the first six right. Mm-hmm. Then you started tripping up a wee bit. It was Ryan Jack that pulled out Scotland squad. I've got down you scored 5 goals for Dundee United.
I see the thing is on the Wikipedia. It says 2 or something, but...
You've got to take it for the horse's mouth.
Mark gets... Don't. That's it. You've got it right, Mark. You're absolutely right. That takes your score up. Brother Rangers, it was Jordan McRae or Martin McQueen that scored against Hearts. I can't believe you didn't get this one. Ian McCall, his nickname was Jobby at Falkirk. Do you know why?
I never knew that.
Apparently...
The office or something?
No, he took a shot at a shit in Simon Stainrod's shoe, and that's why he got banned at the club, apparently. We've got a song about him.
Peter's office or somebody done it. I wasn't sure.
Aye. The song
sing
goes,
a song, John.
The song, he's white, he's blue, he shat in Simon's shoe. Ian McCall, Ian McCall.
He's white, he's blue, he shat in Simon's shoe.
There you go. And then the Asterias Tripolis Stadium is called the Theodorus Cockahawk Tronis Stadium.
But you can't even pronounce
what's it called, John? John, what's it called?
The Theodorus Cockatronis Stadium.
There you go. That's it's named after their big striker, remember?
That's it. And the Kirin Cup was right. You've done yourself proud. You've done Falkirk proud, Mark. 10 points.
Brilliant. Oh, God, man. He's got a tear in his eye. You've done not just yourself proud. You've done Falkirk proud, Mark. There you go.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767 172.
Well, Toll, you need to fuck off to the butchers, don't you?
I do, lads. If I don't get down to the butchers, my dinner is going to be a bowl of cereal.
What are you getting?
Mate, I'll go down there and I'll peruse the shelf and see what's on offer.
Hey, it's funny you say that, Toll. Guess who just got delivered to my house a couple of years ago?
What?
2 New York strip steaks.
Where did you get them from?
I think it was some butcher's online. I just typed it in, I'm going to do that, and it went next day, Apple Pay, boofed.
Do me a favour.
I'll send you a wee picture. I'll send you a wee picture, mate.
Because I love a strip steak.
Well, do you know what? I don't think I've ever had one in the UK. I don't think I've ever had
one. No, neither have I. In fact, I had one in... it was down in Manchester, and it was the Hard Rock Hotel.
This is a great story.
That's disgusting. I know, man. Wait, I mean, you're saying you need to boost quick, man.
I know. I'm sorry, Grado's
waiting. Right, go on, we'll deal with
it.
I love you.
Good show. It was brilliant having Mark here. Get to fuck. Go on.
Right, see you later, lads. Thanks.
See you later, mate.
Let Terry Monroe fuck off.
Okay, bye-bye.
Anyway, that was...
So that was Football Daft, and that was Chris Toll, and I've been Stephen Purden.
And I've been Grado, and you've been the best football audience podcast in Scotland. See you next week, guys. Audio Frontier.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.